All right, we're back here, and we're back here with Senator Arlen Meekhoff. Good morning, Arlen.
Morning, Duke. I'd like to add my congratulations on the anniversary you just celebrated. I like to say, like most men, I married up, and you can probably admit that as well, right?
Yeah.
You just happen to be an overachiever, I'm told. You really so. Congratulations on that.
I just wanted something where I didn't have to do manual labor.
Well, it's good to be with you again. The legislature is on our in-district work period, and we've been very busy. I know my colleagues have been as well, attending the county fairs and a number of other places to interact with our constituents. Lots of positives about Michigan. People are beginning, I think, to sense that Michigan has a real chance to break out of the bad PR that we've had over the last 10 years. And it's refreshing to hear. When I first was in elected office, it was really dismal. We were talking about budget shutdowns and shutting down the state and all kinds of different things. And what a difference 2 years makes.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm very grateful to the citizens who are now really beginning to respond, investing in their businesses and growing, expanding. We're actually at a kind of a labor shortage here in the Holland area. We're having some trouble with some specific skilled jobs to be filled. So that's actually a good sign.
Yes.
And so I'm hoping that continues. The revenue stream that we're seeing coming in through the state is slightly on the uptick again. We can't say it's booming, but it is trending in the right direction. It's not going down. It's going up, even if it is marginally up. A couple of things that we are working on I'll talk about today, but I've mentioned a little bit about these on the program prior before. So if you have a lot of questions about other things, I'd be happy to answer them as well from your listeners. But one of the things that was in front of us, it came through the Government Ops Committee about a week and a half ago, is the idea of the Medicaid expansion, what the governor proposes.
Right.
And it's about 25 states, I think, have accepted this. So this is the optional piece of what the president has put out there is what's generally known as Obamacare. With that generally comes some things that we don't appreciate here in West Michigan. So we took it upon ourselves through the House and their set of hearings, looked at it as in kind of three ways. If the money comes from the federal government, it's still your taxpayer money.
Yes.
Regardless if it's, you know, just spent here, controlled here, or goes to Washington, comes back, it's still taxpayer money. So the federal government is offering the state of Michigan 3 years to fully fund Medicaid expansion for those folks that are between 100% of poverty level to 133% of poverty level, generally folks we call working poor. They don't generally purchase health insurance. It doesn't normally come with their job as a benefit. The federal folks are hoping that everybody will go on some sort of exchange if we did it through the state or on the federal exchange. Well, this is an effort to bridge that. The governor believes this is good accounting, and he's probably right. Given the amount of money that we put in the general or from the general fund into the health budget, we could remove our general fund money and spend it on other things we think are more important. And that federal money would then fill that in and be able to spend on health care. So accounting-wise, it probably makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's short-term. It's only promised for 3 years, and then the funding formula could change. And you have to suspend for the moment the idea that somebody's not printing that money that has less value that they're going to send to you to use. So you have to suspend that reality for just a moment. And as a public policy item, you really have to look at it and say, all right, do I want to be a partner with the federal government in this venture?
Yes.
And we are in the extent of the Medicaid that is provided from everybody who makes 100% of poverty level and less. We already are a partner. And ironically, we're a top five state in the way we handle Medicaid, in the way it was measured. Everybody that's a Medicaid recipient of health care is in a managed care operation, and they are coached on how to have healthy lifestyles, manage their diseases, and a number of things. So we actually do it very, 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 very well. But again, being a partner with the federal government, I guess, is a questionable policy in my mind, because they're not often very reliable.
Yes. Well, I paid Social Security to them for quite a while, but they are giving me some back now.
They are giving you a little bit back now. That's good. That's good. And then you just look at it as a political issue. It's really tough if folks don't know that Michigan does a good job with Medicaid. Set that aside for a minute. It's really tough to say nationwide people don't believe Medicaid is a good program or it has lots of problems, so why would you expand it? So politically you're saying, well, why throw more good money after bad, if that's what you how you want to call it. But what this is intended to do is try to look at the uncompensated care that we all are paying for, and I'll explain that in just a minute. Hospitals, doctors basically receive their income from four sources: Medicaid, Medicare, commercial insurance, and auto no fault. That's basically how the bills are paid in the hospital. Well, the first two that I mentioned, Medicaid and Medicare, pay significantly less. So the hospitals make up the difference on commercial insurance and on auto no fault. And that's not illegal. It's just the way that the system works right now. If the two groups are underpaying, the other two groups are overpaying. So there's about $800 million to $1 billion worth of uncompensated care that is going to get paid for in some way. So we are paying it either in our auto rates, in our MCCA portion of our auto, or in our commercial rates that we're getting from our employer if we're fortunate enough to have that. So the effort's going to be made to try to manage these folks and their chronic illnesses, reduce their use of the emergency room, which is the highest cost of health care.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a primary care physician, that's typically where they go. So they try, we think that we can do that a little bit better if we were to accept this. Again, we would have a little bit of an issue, I believe, with if there's 300,000 to 400,000 more people that need primary care.
Right.
Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
There aren't that many physicians to accept all of those type of people. So there will be probably an access problem, but I think some of that can be alleviated by expanding the scope of operations for nurse practitioners and other folks. So, and it's probably the 80-20 rule. 80% of the folks can be seen by somebody not that's a doctor and can be taken care of, and they can manage their issues that aren't an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's one of the things we're trying to do. In front of us, there was three different ideas as the Senate Government Ops Committee met. And one was Senator Caswell's idea, one was Senator Kobach's idea, and then, of course, the House version, House Bill 4714. Senator Caswell's bill is interesting, and it tries to set up a risk pool or private or commercial insurance like a major medical, I guess is what you would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, folks would have to, between 100 and 133% poverty, they're generally not making a lot of money, so they would still have to pay some sort of premium to get this health care that would manage, if they needed a surgery or something like that, it would be helpful. But it doesn't help them in managing their health, something less than that. It would be with all state money. So it would be additional money that we would either have to take from other programs in the state we're running, or money we would have to raise to help pay for some of these things or subsidize it. And one of the estimates I saw was it could be as much as $600 million. So I don't know where I would take $600 million away from somebody else's budget. That would be most difficult. And if they didn't choose to do something like that, they would go on the federal exchange, which would cost them even more, we're told. I mean, by the time they actually figure out what it's going to cost to be on a federal exchange, we're told it's going to be more. So most people in that category are less likely to buy health insurance and therefore not help themselves and keep themselves healthy. But it doesn't require any waivers from the federal government. We don't have to ask them to do anything different, but it doesn't have any effect on that uncompensated care, which I spoke earlier. If folks are still going to the emergency room to get their health care or not taking care of themselves and they are more sick, the cost is higher when they actually do get some care, and we're paying for it somewhere else.
Right.
Another idea that's in front of us is Senator Kobach's bill, and basically would put everybody in an HSA, all the Medicaid population in HSA with a high deductible, and therein lies part of the problem, the high deductible. Most people don't have, in that cohort of folks, don't have the money to put aside to have pay for stuff underneath that high deductible. It would require a waiver from the federal government, one which they have not given any other state. So it's not likely that they would give us that waiver to do it. And it would also jeopardize some of our Medicaid money from those folks that are under 100% Medicaid. That could be as much as $10 billion of taxpayer money from Michigan goes to Washington and comes back. I don't know that we can risk that. It's a great idea. It's like a block grant. I mean, it would be a great idea. Then Congressman Hoekstra had that idea, so why don't you give us all of our health care money, our transportation money, our education money, just give it to us in a block grant and let us figure out what's the most efficient way
right.
to get it done for Michigan. They're not likely to do that because then they lose the argument on the other things, if we were successful with it, they'd say, oh, wow, you're good at that. Maybe we should give you your education and your transportation money that way. And they're not likely to do that because that loses control. As I mentioned, the high deductible is quite cost prohibitive. But this is the ironic thing. I think this is the most responsible plan. Okay, this asks people to invest in their health care so that, because if they're getting some treatment or some relief from the taxpayer to help subsidize their health care, they should. Their requirements for them should be like we would expect of ourselves, to behave in a way that keeps themselves healthy.
Right.
And I think that's the most responsible way to do it. I use a health savings account through the Michigan Senate. That's how I do my health care, and I think that's the most responsible way, because the consumer of the health care services actually is paying for those services out of their pocket up to a certain point. I think that's a really responsible way. Again, this doesn't probably, and I know not probably, but it doesn't tackle the uncompensated care problem, and it again, that cost gets shifted on the rest of the taxpayer, so we're paying it another way.
All right, let's take time out for a word here. We'll be right back with the Senator. If you have a question, 395-1450.
Smiles, tears, laughter.
All right, we're here with Representative Arlen Meekhoff this morning. 395-1450 is our number. If you'd like to talk to him directly, our line is open for you. All right.
The third option that's in front of us is House Bill 4714, and the House had done significant work and put a lot of effort into putting in the reforms. And I have to say, a number of these will also have to have waivers from the federal government, but they're not as significant and they're not as tall. The Senate version, the language that we're going to add, has 17 more reforms. And what's the great thing about this bill, should we vote for it, is those reforms will all stay in place even if we don't take the federal money.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to reform Medicaid, and we're going to even be better at the way we provide Medicaid services that way. So that would cause us to accept federal funding for 3 years at 100% for those in the 100 to 133% of income. And again, those reforms would stay in place. One of the triggers that's built into the bill is if the federal government decides they're going to change or somehow significantly reduce the amount of money that they're going to send to Michigan to do this, the program stops. Okay? If you're going to send us our money back, we'll use it in the right way.
Right.
But if you're going to pull the strings and say something different, the program stops. The difficulty there is, how do you, after you've given somebody something, how do you take it back?
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, who's going to get blamed?
Yeah, you are.
I am. Sure. I understand that. It's very much like when the federal government was doling out all that ARRA money, and a lot of it went to schools. And when that money stopped, the school said, "Well, you cut us." Well, no, we didn't. The federal money stopped.
Yeah.
So the program stopped. It doesn't matter. Okay. The blame game will start from there, which is fine. This particular idea does address the uncompensated care. It does put these folks in managed care, again, of which we seem to be very, very good, managing diseases, reducing costs, and reduce emergency room use. In fact, in the Medicaid population where most folks are served, there are people in these emergency rooms that direct some of their customers back to another physician instead of using the emergency room. I mean, they're very serious about these managed care folks because they get paid on how healthy they're able to keep these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not just providing service and, you know, here, take this or do that or here. They're paid on how well they do in managing those folks and keeping them healthy. Again, all the reforms stay in place even if the federal funds stop. And if they're, again, as I mentioned, if they're receiving their health care from the taxpayer, we should expect some sort of behavior change, that they have some co-pays, that they have some ownership of their health. And I think that's a reasonable way to go. So kind of three statements about it. Is it a government expansion? Yes. Does it address uncompensated care? Yes. Does it probably result in a healthier Michigan? Yes, probably does.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to suspend the fact that that's federal money that's printed and whatever you think of that. You can go ahead and email my office or talk to me about it, call my office. We've received a lot of email, and a lot of folks in the healthcare industry want this money to flow through and take care of the uncompensated care thing. And I understand all of that thing. The difficulty is if you say no to this, you still have that uncompensated care or $800 million problem that we're all paying for. How do you address that?
Yeah.
We haven't been able to find an acceptable free market thing yet that we can get enough votes for, but I'm very hopeful. I was at a conference this weekend where I heard some things that Florida is doing. It's on the edge of risking their federal funds for other Medicaid, but it's one of the ideas that possibly could work. But it's so new that it hasn't been found out if it makes people healthier or actually uses the medical system in an appropriate way. And we were just joking off the air. You know, if you think healthcare is expensive now, just wait till it's free.
Yeah,
till
right.
The president's plan is freely or totally implemented, it may cost us significantly more than that. I think I heard one of your callers earlier that some of the states that are banning it about now have found out that their rates have gone up significantly.
Yeah.
In fact, some places 100%. Most regular folks can't afford that either.
No.
Nor can they afford to get the penalty if they don't have health insurance. So the president has put us in a precarious spot. And whether you agree with them or you don't agree with them right now, the Obamacare is the law of the land, and we have to try to implement it in Michigan and protect our state's rights, one, and improve the health of our citizens so that we have a healthier Michigan. So overall, it costs us less for the taxpayer to provide health care.
Yeah, got a call here. Good morning, you're online with our guest. Good morning, you're online with our guest. Sorry, I guess we missed the call.
Missed him.
395-1450, our number, if you'd like to give us a call. Well, my son retired last year, and he wanted to retire 65, but the job was not good anymore, so he retired at 62, but couldn't afford the health care.
Yeah. Again, if wait till it's free. It's going to be more expensive.
Free. Okay, I think we got a call now. Good morning, online with our guest.
Duke, that just hit the nail on the head what I was going to say. You know, nowadays, when you get to be 50, 55, they lay you off, and it's pretty hard to find a job when you're that age.
It is, yeah.
And you know what's the bad part is paying for your health care.
Yes.
It costs an arm and a leg. It's just terrible.
Right.
And you know what? It kind of irks you because it costs you so darn much. You have to sacrifice to have it. And then we see these people at the emergency room and at the doctor's office hand somebody a little piece of paper. And I know everybody, I wouldn't want anybody to have to go without, but, you know, some of us have to pay through the nose and others get it for nothing.
That's right.
It's kind of irritating sometimes.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know what the answer is either, but I hope they figure it out pretty darn quick.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Earl's Meats time is 10:51. Earl's Meats has all natural pet food, bones, and dog treats to keep your dog or cat healthy and happy. Arlen?
We also have in front of us the Detroit bankruptcy. I've been making some national headlines. Let's just kind of set the table and say whatever happens through the bankruptcy proceeding as it's managed with the judge and other things, most everything that happens here will be precedent setting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things of which have never been dealt before at this level.
Other cities are on the precipice of this.
Certainly, there are. Chicago is one of them. Emergency manager Kevin Orr is doing a fantastic job. It's really hard. If you think about, they are $18 billion in the hole. $18 billion.
That's going to take a lot of doing.
That's a lot of doing.
And we got a call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, just an example of it. If you think it's free. We're paying $300 more because of this thing of health care that's going on. We're running into things that were paid for before last year, and now we're paying for it.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to increase, I think, and probably 50% more with what they call affordable health care, which I don't understand. What do they mean by affordable?
Yeah, is it affordable or is it care or is it neither?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Morning. I'm concerned about the MCCA. I know of two support groups. One has people that have closed head injuries, and I wouldn't want these people taken off the support. I think that, as Brooks Patterson found out, you can spend a lot of money very quickly. 500 $500,000, $1 million. So I wouldn't want people not to get their money. But I do find that there are abuses. I know people that have gotten prosthetics and legs, and they get one model, and then they get another model. I know of cases where houses have been remodeled. Overly done so, too extensive perhaps. But there needs to be sunshine with the insurance companies. We need to know what the books are, what the money, what they're paying out. I heard of another case of a woman who was involved in an accident, and she had the choice of having home health care workers come in, and her husband said, no, they're not. I'm going to take care of her at $20 an hour, and he's making $70,000 a year. Well, stuff like this is got to stop. I mean, there's got to be more scrutiny. There's got to be more control. It's got to be there's got to be more sunshine on the whole activity.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you, because that's policy is this public policy is over 30 years old. There have been some abuses. Courts have set some things because the law wasn't specific, and the courts have done some things that that caused some of those people to take advantage of. What's ironic about Brooks Patterson's comments, he's talking about the MCCA and his accident. He was actually on the job at the time, so he was covered by workers' comp, not MCCA. But so that's why his remarks are a little bit off base, if you would say. You're right. The MCCA is something that we all pay. I think it's $170 a car now every time we renew our license, and there needs to be some more sunshine on it and some reform, because as it goes, it's unsustainable. And at some point in time, there will be more claims on it than they'll be able to pay, or we're going to have to continue to raise the price of the MCCA. I'm told it's probably going to be $200 next year. If we don't make some changes in some of the ways that we manage this care as well. You're right. I don't want people to go without care, but I also want the taxpayer to be protected. And there's a balance there, and we haven't reached that yet.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, back to Detroit. You know, $18 billion in the hole when the state budget 2 years ago was only $1.8 billion in the hole. So we're talking 10 times the amount that Detroit. And, you know, it's 30 years of graft and corruption. It really is sad. The city of Detroit at one time had 1.7 million people. Now they got around 700,000. And I can't imagine that it's easy when you got to put all the assets of the city on the table. I mean, you're talking about the water system, the pensions that are underfunded, the art, all of those things. And I'm specifically with the pensions, because that's typically considered a contract. And so it's going to be interesting how they handle these things, because it's underfunded. The folks that are being supported by the pension fully believe that they bargained in good faith to receive these benefits after they were retired. So how do you look them in the eye and say, well, we're going to exempt this piece of asset of Detroit. Take the art, for instance. We're going to not sell the art, but we're going to cut your pension. Well, that doesn't sit very well with a lot of people. I mean, you're going to weigh the value of those things. Now, given art's important, I understand its importance. A lot of those objects were given by people for display, but it appears to be one of the assets of the city that needs to be considered. And emergency manager Orr has a contact, I think, at Sotheby's to come in and do an evaluation of those pieces to see what the value is. Again, the water system is something that could be privatized. There's a lot of other options on the table, but all of them are difficult. All of them are difficult.
Right.
And I've said many times on this program, a healthy Detroit is good for West Michigan. You know, the sooner they can get to a point where they can support themselves and pay their own bills, or even just a little bit short, that's hundreds of millions of dollars that we can direct other places, schools, roads, and everything else that we believe needs some help. So that they're... Kevin Orr's got a big job in front of him, along with the bankruptcy judge. And, you know, remember all the good things about Michigan that I talked about at the beginning of the program. Yes, this is a significant hurdle in which we need to get over.
I understand you get some good deals on real estate, though.
Yeah, there's probably some good deals on real estate if you can deal with all the stuff there. But and there's great parts of Detroit as well. You know, the core, the center part, where a lot of people are investing money on Woodward Avenue. The folks that own Quicken Loans, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But anyway, there's a lot of folks that believe in Detroit and want to see it expanded. And in downtown Detroit, as buildings are being rehabbed to some sort of residential use, they're 95% occupied. So people want to live right downtown.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, you need to grow that good feeling from the inside out, I guess, and make people excited about Detroit again, and not just for, you know, the sports things or the arts or culture, some of the other things as well.
Okay, very good.
We just completed Coast Guard Festival in Grand Haven. I hope a lot of folks took advantage of that. We have some great festivals in West Michigan, even though we dealt with the traffic, really difficult traffic a week. And it was almost a perfect weather week. I mean, it was just gorgeous. Next week's the Hudsonville Fair.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of folks will be out at the fair. I'll be at the Ottawa County GOP booth on Thursday, so stop by and say hi in the afternoon.
Okay.
And I just encourage all your listeners to go to their local farmers markets, buy all that fruit and
all
vegetables from the local folks, and probably the next time I'll talk to you is in September, and school will have started.
And we're out of time.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for being here this morning.
Part of the daily fabric of your life, the Holland Zeeland area turns to 1450 WHTC, Holland, and online at WHTC.com.